WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And you heard Christina mention the haze, the smoke from Canada. And you can see it. You can see it outside right now. The sky is very hazy. It's making it so you can actually look at the sun, although you probably don't want to do that. But it is absolutely going to affect you if you have any kind of breathing issues. It's going to make it a little bit tough out there for you today, so just take it slow, take it easy. And if you do start to experience that, I know people are going to tell you, masks don't work. Well, masks will work for that. Masks will definitely help you when it comes to some of the particles in the air from wildfire smoke. It's not perfect, but at least it might make it so you can spend a little time outside. Because other than that, should be a decent day. Coming up later on this hour, we will have today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And we've got some fun stuff on there for you today. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, it'll be this week's edition of the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We're going to be learning about Damien's Place with its executive director, Rachel Resendiz. All the great work that it does, especially dealing with food insecurity, but in an interesting way. So we'll find out more about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, phone calls with you at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I got an email yesterday that I wanted to share with you. It was the person who sent this asked not to be identified, but said that they live in the North End of New Bedford. So I'm just going to read this to you and then we can talk about it. It says, our garbage is picked up on Monday. I put the garbage tote out on Sunday night. It isn't picked up when I leave for work in the morning, so it stays on the street until I get home at the end of the day and then I bring it in. We have a lot of dog walkers in the neighborhood and people keep dropping their dog poop bags in my garbage tote. If it was before it was emptied, I wouldn't care. But they do it after it's been emptied, and then I'm stuck with dog poop in my garbage all week. It's so gross, and I don't even have a dog. Every other day of the week, they carry it home. Why do they think it's okay to stick me with it? Today, there were 3 bags in it by the time I got home. Maybe if you mention it, they will stop, because I don't know how to get them to. Well, there are a couple of things you can do. Unfortunately, now, if this was your own personal garbage barrel and not one provided by the city or the city's trash hauler, then you would have every right to, you could lock up that barrel. Now, that's not going to help you if you have to leave it there on the curb unlocked for the trash people to pick it up. But what I would say is, you know, you could talk to the trash people and say, will you just make it look like it's locked? Because if I'm walking by with a dog poop bag and I see a lock on it, I'm not going to check to see if the lock is actually closed. But because it's probably a city-owned or a trash hauler-owned barrel, you're not going to be able to do that. That's more for the our suburban folks who pay for their own private hauler. What you could also do is you could put a sign on your barrel or on your property that tells them that they're on camera and that you can see who it is and that you will remove the bag of poop and bring it to their house and leave it on their front step. But probably the best way to approach it might be to start off with a please don't put your poop bags in my barrel sign. But that is, I mean, in a way, okay, the folks who are doing that, you have to understand, probably think that they're doing the right thing. They probably think, well, there's a trash barrel, I can put it in the barrel. They're scooping it, they're bagging it, and they're disposing of it. And on this particular day, they found a way that's a little bit more convenient than carrying it home. So they probably don't think that they're doing anything that's upsetting you, but maybe if you let them know, then they will understand that and say, okay, I'll just bring it home on Mondays too. I dealt with that in my last neighborhood where somebody would put their dog poop bags in my trash, and I'm glad that they were picking it up, but I didn't need that in my trash barrel, and I didn't do it to anybody else. If I took my dog around, I just brought it home with me. Now, spoiler alert, when I got home, I usually threw it in my trash barrel, but the neighbors didn't know that. And I suppose I'd like to think, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic, a little too naive, but I'd like to think that they wouldn't do it if they knew that you didn't like it. So that might be the first step, to just try to make them aware of the fact that you prefer that they don't do it. You might also, and I don't know the trash haulers personally, I don't know if they'd be willing to do this, but you could ask them, is it possible that when they empty your barrels because you have this problem, could they leave your barrel upside down? And then maybe that will make the person think twice. If they come by and they flip your barrel over to put their dog poop in there, well, they did a little extra work. Maybe they deserve it then. Maybe you should just let them. I'm being facetious with that. But I think that, you know, that might be difficult because they would have to make a notation on your stop. And I don't know that, you know, if you were paying for this service, $40 a month or whatever they charge for trash service personally, then they'd probably do that. I think if you're, you know, just getting it picked up by the city's hauler, they're not going to take that extra step. But these are all possible things to try. I would actually recommend, if you could, get a camera, whether it be an actual real camera, or you can go get one of those dummy cameras that look like a real camera. Although the real cameras are cheap enough. You can get them for like $25 now. And just put that on your front porch. Point it directly at where the trash barrels are and leave a sign saying, you know, no poop dumping, you're on camera. And that'll probably be enough. Because they don't want to think you're going to take that video and then put it up on the internet and shame them. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Spooky Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I listened the last part of the show to Zeddy, and she's been sick for quite some time now. And evidently, if she's seen a doctor, the doctor isn't doing too much for her. So I'll give her my homemade Feast of the Blessed Sacrament cure. Go buy a bottle of that Madeira wine and take at least a double shot of it before you go to bed. But you got to, you know, do it, you know, and go to bed, because that stuff is powerful stuff. And usually for me, when I had a cold like her and all that sort of stuff, see you later. It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I drank so much of that wine this weekend, I'm probably completely disinfected now.
Well, I would say so. I know it's always helped me. It's one of the benefits, and I guess it must have helped the Founding Fathers, because it kept a lot of them going around for a while, too. But seriously, I would suggest that you do that. But don't drive. Don't do anything else. You're at home at night, and take it and go to bed, okay? And at least a double shot, you know, like a double shot glass of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always helped me. I've been heard it now for a while on you know, on your radio station. He doesn't sound too well. Doesn't seem like the doctor is doing anything for her, you know. if she is seeing a doctor. So that would be my homemade remedy.
So now she needs to have a visit from Dr. Madeira.
Exactly, Dr. Madeira. Hi, Carita. How you doing?
Well, thank you for the advice.
All right. I hope it works out for her if she tries it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
My friend. Bye-bye. Take care.
And by the way, Sketty, if you want to get some of that Madeira wine, the same Madeira wine that they serve at the feast, although not in the barrels, instead in a bottle, they do carry that at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. So it is the same official Madeira wine of the feast. So just go to Stevie's and say, hey, I want to get some of that feast wine. And they'll know exactly what you're talking about, and they'll find that bottle for you. And it's cheap, too. I think it's like $15 for the bottle. I think that's what I paid for it the last time I got some. I brought some to Thanksgiving last year. And I said, you know, has anybody ever had this before? And nobody in my family had. And I said, I think you're going to like it. But, you know, don't pour yourself a big glass of it until you've tasted it and to see if you like it. And pretty much everybody went and had a little sip and then went back and poured themselves a decent sized, you know, maybe like a, well, like the caller said, a double shot of it. I know that I had, I think, 2 cups on Thursday, 1 cup on Friday. Then on Saturday, I intended to only have 1 cup, but my friend that I went with, she said it was too sweet for her after a couple of sips, and so she gave me the rest of her, so I had 2, and these were all larges, by the way. And then on Sunday when I went there, I was like, I'm not going to have any of the wine today. So I just had a super bock while I was watching All Sinners perform. And then I met up with some friends, and one of the friends was like, I'm going to get some wine. And I was like, well, I guess I will too then. So, but now I'm good. Now I'm good until, well, maybe on Thanksgiving I'll bring another bottle. But until then, I think I'm good. That being said, they do some different events down there at the Feast Grounds, and they always have some of the leftover wine for those events. So if I end up attending one of those, maybe I'll have to have some more. 508-996-0500. So I had mentioned some other paranormal news, and we talked about this briefly yesterday because I just keep getting my inbox is blown up by this. People are sending me the story. And I appreciate it. I appreciate people tagging me in it and sending it to me. That the comedian, Matt Rife, who moved to Rhode Island a couple of years ago and who has been popping up and doing like surprise shows at different places in the area. This is a guy, I don't personally find him funny. But he seems to be somebody that has really embraced being a local. And he seems like a pretty good guy. He was one of these guys that I guess he started, you know, making videos on TikTok and became famous and then started doing stand-up. And he's also a really good-looking guy, and I think that played a part in it. But I just don't find him funny. But that's not a slight on Matt Rife. There's so many comedians that I don't find funny. So, but he's also interested in the paranormal. And him and his friend Elton, they make videos on YouTube where they go out and do paranormal investigations and go to haunted places. And he's legitimately interested in it. And he just utilizes his celebrity and his money to have access to some of these places, which, you know, no fault of his own for that. I mean, there's plenty of YouTubers that do the same thing. But it's been no secret that he wants to buy the Conjuring House. He moved to Rhode Island. He lives in that area. I know kind of where exactly he lives, but I'm not going to say that on the radio. But he lives in that region of Rhode Island. And he's been to the Conjuring House. He's obsessed with the Conjuring House and the Conjuring case. And so he wanted to buy it. So I had reached out to Elton, his buddy there, and I had said to him, I was like, well, if you need contact info for the owner, I can reach out to her and see if she's willing to talk to you. And he was like, that'd be great. But then what happened was she went into her issues began, and it's been well documented on the news. Channel 12 has been following along with her erratic behavior, with her arrest for drinking and driving, all kinds of issues, mental health challenges, hospitalizations. They've covered it all. And she's been defiant this whole time, and she's not selling that house. So last week, Matt Rife and Elton Castile were teasing an announcement where they had bought a paranormal property, and they made it look like they were in the woods in the backyard of the Conjuring house. And so everybody was like, how did they get it? How'd they get Jacqueline to sell it to them? And it turns out that they actually purchased Ed and Lorraine Warren's house in Monroe, Connecticut, along with the museum. And I guess the way that it works is they own the building, but they don't own the objects that Tony Spera, the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren, retained ownership of the, well, maybe him and the daughter Judy together, but they retained ownership of the haunted objects that are in the museum, and they're just going to, like, have them on loan to Matt Rife. So that means, yes, he is going to have possession of Annabelle, no pun intended. And the idea being, and there's been so much hype over Annabelle. Supposedly, people think that, you know, she had something to do with the death of the paranormal investigator who was handling her. That's not the case at all. It's I don't even think there's anything to the Annabelle story. But anyway, Ed and Lorraine Warren were great showmen because they existed at a time when you couldn't make money being a paranormal investigator. It cost you money to be a paranormal investigator. You had to pay to travel to places. You had to pay for equipment, even buying, you know, audio tape for your reel-to-reel recorder was an expense. And so what they would do is they would go out on the lecture circuit, and that's how they would make the money to fund what they do. And in order to get booked on the lecture circuit, they needed a name. And to get a name, they needed to get coverage on television and be on TV shows and talk shows and all that stuff. And so, you know, a lot of what they did has come under scrutiny because people say, well, they were just self-promoters. Well, they had to be. That was the only way they were going to get any. There was no internet to advertise their services. If you want to get more cases, you need to get the word out that you're out there. And so that's what they did. And does that mean that they might have hyped up some of these stories? I think that they did. Do I think objects can be haunted? I wrote a whole book about it. So, yeah, I do. But do I think that Annabelle killed somebody? No. So anyway, they bought this museum, and I guess they're not done in terms of their interest in they're not giving up on buying the Conjuring house, because Channel 12 has a story today. Actually, it was published last night that they're making another push to buy the Conjuring house after they recently purchased the Warren house. And they sent a certified offer letter to Jacqueline Nunez, the current owner, last month. And Elton Cassie said, it kind of breaks our heart to see it like this in its current state. And we would really just love to make this place where people can get it, where people can experience it from all over the world. Now, their entertainment license was pulled months ago. Actually, last year. I think it was November of last year. So they're interested in buying this under the hope that maybe they can get that reinstated. So if they're able to get a response from her, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a no. But eventually, she's going to run out of money trying to keep that place going without it taking in anything. Now, she's pretty well off. She's a real estate developer. So there's a good chance that she could hold on to it for a while, especially where she's, you know, having issues. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, Matt Rife, the comedian, is the last person I'd want to have owning that. No, he's not. There are far worse people that could end up owning that. And I think that if he does, it actually could be one of the best things for it. Certainly, if you ever had any interest of getting there and investigating, or investigating it again, if you've already been there. So anyway, that's my take on that, just because I know people have been asking. And of course, I'll take your thoughts as well on it. But right now, I've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have the news and then today's edition of the Gen X Files.
A new probe into Russia and the 2016 elections. Potential flooding in the southeast and some changes coming to Social Security payments.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Another official in the Biden administration scheduled to testify today in the GOP probe of the ex-president's mental fitness in office. Bruce Reed, the former deputy chief of staff for policy, previously agreed to do a closed-door interview, but it's unknown if he will plead the fifth and not answer questions. The probe has been focused on Biden's mental decline and use of an auto pen. Republicans say the auto pen use may make some of Biden's pardons void. The Department of Justice convening a grand jury in the Russia election probe.
Fox News says Attorney General Pam Bondi has signed off on the move. It comes after Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released new documents she said proves former Obama officials tried to sabotage President Trump in the 2016 election. Gabbard says the officials acting on the direction of the former president suppressed evidence that showed there was no collusion between President Trump and Russia. I'm Brian Shook.
Tourists from certain countries seeking a visa to enter the U.S. could have to pay up to a $15,000 bond. That's according to multiple reports citing a notice sent to State Department employees yesterday. Under the program, visa applicants from countries with high overstay rates would be required to pay $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000. The NYPD expanding a pilot program designed to improve the quality of life for New Yorkers. Here's Scott Pringle.
The pilot program launched in April in a handful of places and then expanded earlier last month to Manhattan and the Bronx, and now quality of life teams are being formed for all of Brooklyn. Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch says they'll be addressing things like noise complaints, illegal mopeds, abandoned vehicles, and outdoor drug use.
This isn't broken windows. This isn't about cracking down to prevent crime. It's about restoring order and improving quality of life.
Officials say so far the pilots resulted in hundreds of abandoned vehicles and illegal mopeds towed away and a big reduction in response times to complaints.
A Florida deputy is being praised for his brave removal of an alligator from a swimming pool. Body camera footage shared by St. John's County Sheriff's Office captured the moment. Deputy Richardson initially attempted to capture the alligator with a net before resorting to use his own hands to pull the reptile out of the water. The incident occurred in St. Augustine, where residents discovered the gator enjoying a swim in their backyard pool. The alligator, who was described as super mad, was safely relocated to a nearby pond after being transported in the back of a patrol car. The number of people with COVID-19 in the U.S. is low, but it is increasing.
CDC data based on emergency department visits as of July 29th found that the virus is trending up in many mid-Atlantic, southeast, southern, and west coast states. Emergency department visits were highest for children younger than 4 years old, which experts said makes sense because many remain unvaccinated. Ever since 2020, COVID-19 has peaked twice a year with cases rising in the winter and then again in the summer as travel peaks. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Tennessee death row inmate Byron Black is set to be executed today, his execution moving forward despite his implanted defibrillator. His attorneys had asked that the defibrillator be deactivated. They claimed the device could go off during the lethal injection, causing their client to be shocked. Black was convicted of the 1988 shooting deaths of his girlfriend and her two daughters. Changes are coming for the Social Security beneficiaries who receive paper checks. The Social Security Administration announced that starting on September 30th, it would no longer issue paper checks. Now beneficiaries must opt in to have their benefit payments delivered electronically by direct deposit, or if they don't have a bank account, receive their benefit payments on a prepaid debit card. A Social Security spokesperson said the administration is proactively contacting to alert about the change.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox have won their sixth game in a row, beating the Royals 8-5 at Fenway last night. Those two teams back at it again tonight at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not a bad start to our Tuesday, but we're still looking out for a little bit of that smoke and haze in the atmosphere from the Canadian wildfires. Now, it's not as bad as yesterday, as cold front's going to come through and help mix up the air a little bit, but we're still keeping an eye out. And if you have, let's say, asthma, COPD, heart disease, anything that can make you a little more sensitive to the air quality, just make sure that you are staying tuned to the forecast. And of course, we'll have more throughout the day. But also in terms of temperatures, we're starting out in the low to mid 60s. Later in the afternoon, upper 70s for the coast, low to mid 80s inland. Maybe a stray shower as a cold front comes through. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back in. We'll take some calls coming up at 508-996-0500. Right now it is time for today's edition. You know it, you love it.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Marsha. Maureen McCormick, best known for playing Marsha Brady on The Brady Bunch, turned 69 years old today. NBA Hall of Famer Patrick Ewing is 63. You may not know his name, but you'd recognize his face from playing bad guys in lots of movies. Actor Mark Strong is 62. Film director and now DC Movie Universe head honcho James Gunn turns 59. And Jonathan Silverman, who starred in Weekend at Bernie's and 90s must-see TV sitcom The Single Guy, is also 59 today. I once had a funny encounter with him at Rhode Island Comic Con that I don't have time to share with you now, but I'll tell you sometime.
We're going hopping, hop. We're going hopping today. When things are popping, hop. I'll feel the Delphi away. We're going to drop it, hop. On all the music they play on the bandstand.
August 5th, 1957, American Bandstand first aired on U.S. television. It was initially hosted by Bob Horn. The show got its start in Philadelphia, but Horn was later replaced by Dick Clark as the show moved to Los Angeles. The show went on to feature numerous well-known acts, including ABBA, The Doors, Madonna, R.E.M., and Pink Floyd. Can you imagine that? Pink Floyd on American Bandstand. In 1975, guitarist Joan Jett and drummer Sandy West formed the first all-female rock band, The Runaways. During their career, the group released four studio albums and toured the U.S. with Van Halen, Talking Heads, and Cheap Trick, among others. Some of their more notable releases include Cherry Bomb, Queens of Noise, and a cover of Velvet Underground's Rock and Roll. On August 5th, 1978, the Rolling Stones went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Miss You, the group's eighth U.S. number one. The song was written by Mick Jagger after jamming with keyboardist Billy Preston during rehearsals for forthcoming club dates the Stones were playing. In 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan fired 11,359 striking air traffic controllers who ignored his order to go back to work. In 1983, Risky Business premiered in U.S. theaters. The film turned a relatively unknown actor named Tom Cruise into a megastar. In 1984, Bruce Springsteen played the first of 10 nights at the Meadowlands in New Jersey to mark the homecoming of his Born in the USA tour. The tour grossed between $80 and $90 million overall, making it his longest and most successful run to date. In 2001, cable network Odyssey was renamed to Hallmark Channel. And my dad has regretted letting my mother know about that channel every day ever since. On August 5th, 2009, a 53-year-old claimed he was secretly engaged to Miley Cyrus. He was charged with trying to stalk the U.S. singer. Mark McLeod was arrested after trying to contact the Hannah Montana actress on a film set near Savannah, Georgia. McLeod claimed he had met Cyrus 18 months earlier and that she had accepted his marriage proposal. He told police that Cyrus's father, country singer Billy Ray Cyrus, approved of their relationship and that Cyrus had sent him, quote, secret messages through her TV show. That's the Gen X Files for August 5th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you can try all of their great homemade ice cream flavors, and you don't have to pick just one, because with that Porch Sampler, you can try up to six different flavors, including the returning Chips Ahoy Dough. So if you like cookie dough, you're going to want to try the Chips Ahoy Dough, plus Chips Ahoy Dough, plus flavors like Banana Fee. Vintage Vanilla, Oreo, Black Raspberry, and so much more. Check out McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream on Facebook and Instagram for more. All right, that'll do it for the Gen X Files for today. Why don't I take my next break here? We'll do that. When we come back, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll be right back. I'm living for the 90s. I wish it still was the 90s. Anyway, 508-996-0500. So I don't know if you remember, but on Friday, I brought up the issue of, and again, I'm going to try to be as understanding as I can be with this, because I understand, you know, the challenges that the unhoused population face, but as I mentioned, I happened to be giving Chris McCarthy a ride somewhere yesterday, and I took him by the Coggeshall Street exit and showed him the folks who are camping there right off the side of the off ramp. And that means that they were there, you know, this whole past weekend, as people were coming from all over for the feast, and as they were coming off the highway and entering into New Bedford, that's what they were seeing. And I don't know why those folks haven't been moved along. Man, because I don't think that's a safe place to be. First of all, you're going to be inhaling all of the exhaust from every truck and car coming off the highway. But that's a heavily congested area. If somebody ends up, you know, coming around that turn too fast, or, God forbid, has been drinking, it just doesn't seem like a safe place to be setting up camp. And it's the thing is, you know, we see so many of these encampments that pop up, and they're in areas where you don't see them. And for good reason, because they don't want to get moved along. And I think part of it, too, is almost like a societal contract where they say, I'm going to go in here in the woods, you leave me alone. Like if you go behind the Church Street train station, there's an encampment back there. There's people that are living there. But people who are coming in on the train aren't noticing that. And again, I feel bad saying it, because we should be seeing them. We should be seeing them and seeing them as people and trying to help them. But this, I don't know, just feels different. Like they've set themselves up a little camp over there, and they've got all their stuff, and like there's three or four tents. And I don't know why they haven't been moved along. I mean, maybe that's something Chris can ask the mayor tomorrow. And as I said, I don't know that these, and again, I feel like I'm making judgments by looking at these people, but they seem younger, the ones that I've seen over there. Perhaps they're just people who are, you know, passing through for a little while. They're following the highway. Maybe they're folks who are panhandling over by Market Basket there, over by, you know, across from the 7-Eleven at the intersection, right there. Maybe they've decided to just stick around that area. I don't know. I don't know those folks enough to see who's down there each day and if it's the same people. But I just can't understand why through the entire feast weekend they weren't asked to leave a heavily trafficked and probably somewhat dangerous area. Because again, it's not like they're going and being inconspicuous about it. They're right there out in the open. 508-996-0500. And if there are people that need help, I hope they can get the help that they need. But I get the feeling that these are just people who want to be there. Let me take one more break here. My last one of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. We had a caller on hold, but they dropped off right as the commercial break was ending. That's one of the most frustrating things of the job. You move some spots around so you can squeeze in a call before the end of the hour, and then they hang up during the commercial break. But call back, and we have time for you at 508-996-0500. Coming up in the next hour, we will have our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We are going to be talking with Rachel Resendiz of Damien's Place in Wareham. They handle food insecurity, as well as a number of other things that affect the community, but they do it in a different way. So they know that there can be a little bit of a loss of dignity in going and saying, I need help being able to feed my family. And so they found a way to kind of restore some of that dignity. So she's going to talk with us about that as well in the South Coast Health Community Spotlight coming up in the next hour. And then after that, we'll take more of your calls at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Tomorrow, we will have Wrestling Wednesday. We're going to talk with one of the promoters and wrestlers from a local organization putting on a show coming up at Kilburn Mill. It's their new home, their new permanent home, wrestling at Kilburn Mill. And they're going to also, they gave us some tickets to give away. So we'll do that tomorrow. Don't forget, too, if you want to win some tickets to see a concert, we've got the Doobie Brothers this week. And it's up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You can enter your information to try to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers, always one of our most popular giveaways. And this year, the Doobies are performing with the Coral Reefer Band, Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band at Xfinity Center. So if you want to see that on August 15th, it's a Friday night. Well, you can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they sponsor all of our ticket giveaways here on the morning show. So maybe you'll get a chance to see a Doobie Brother in person and quote what's happening. I'm sure they hear it all the time. Which Doobie do you be? Because honestly, I think I just recognized Michael McDonald, and that's it. Because is Jeff Skunk Baxter still around? Is he still